This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm at 4:46 and I'm calling this student assembly meeting, the second to last meeting to order. I know, I just didn't want to sound... Chelsea, if you could please call the roll.
Present.
Sorry, Tavia. Unexcused. Excuse, or I'll be late.
We just got our list ready.
Here.
Here.
Great. Thanks, Chelsea. We are moving on to approval of the November 15, 2012 minutes. Are there any amendments or motions? There's been a motion to approve.
It's
seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next portion of the meeting is open microphone. So if there's anyone in the audience who isn't already on the agenda for anything, feel free now to speak. And we encourage people to. Okay. Next, we are moving on to announcements and reports. The first is an international issues update by Representative Lamaki.
So, hi everybody, welcome to the live meeting. I just wanted to share with you the update regarding the issues of international students.
Thank you. Next is an Environmental Committee announcement by Representative Ballack.
Hi. So, really quick, I know you guys have seen this on your outreach calendar, but tonight at 17 in Compton, Ontario, the Golden Smith, a hydrogeologist from the National Geographic Survey is coming to talk to us. He's really cool. His name is Julian Capel. He's a lot funnier than I am. He says the if you have getting one last outreach event before the month is over, it's November 29th. So you can get that out of the way right after the meeting. It'll be great.
Tailing off of that, an outreach announcement.
Yeah, there is a big announcement, but you have to fill out the announcement faster by tomorrow or get your final.
Thanks. Next is a social justice requirement update by VP Smith.
So as most of you know or have been hearing that we are investigating the possibility of enacting or putting in place a sort of social justice or human diversity requirement in these colleges. Maybe you saw the article that came out last week in the Sun about how Provost wants to kind of pass that back to the colleges and let you should do that. So actually, I'm going to take this time to refer the progress to our wonderful, wonderful clerk. First, let's just say, Chelsea has been doing, she's gone above and beyond all of her responsibilities. She has been the one actually sitting in all the meetings. Chelsea has actually scheduled, met with, or has already confirmed with all the academic students from all the different colleges. She's probably met with all the much more than college representatives as well. So, yeah, so get on your job. She's going to leave us something right here. So you write anything positive you want to write about yourself in the midst or this section, okay? But I'm going to let her give you the announcement.
Next is an AAP and a Student Life Task Force report by VP Smith.
So today we'll be starting up with my team again. We had our monthly meeting also with the Student Council was there, and we had Sly Mono, who you guys might remember from the AAP, spoke on behalf of the council here. But he also, President of the Union, will be discussed extensively two things. First is our college is moving the arts department towards mandatory dual degree programs. So that means that all the arts coming in will not have it totally been decided, but they're looking to now require that everybody do a dual degree. So I'm a dual degree student right now, so that means we'll be taking courses we'll have a second major in whatever area in arts and science. So that's something we're exploring right now slowly, that we start to find the representative kind of assumes that just to see where that goes. The second one was actually revamping the AAPY diversity committee that used to be present in the college. Looking at an assessment need for that and talking about the specific goals in charge for that committee, how it will address specific issues, and so we'll probably follow up on that next month. As far as Student Life, we heard Representative Bonani discuss some of the initiatives at the international that he's taken on behalf of the international community. So as part of our task force, we kind of devised a report that outlines everybody does initiative to go on that task force, and the thing they did is that they put the brand new deal, like, out of the report, and there'll be things about gender inclusion housing, and the things that you need to do is gender inclusion routes and thinking on, and resource initiatives, also, Representative Marshall's guiding initiatives and things regarding the pub. So there's quite a bus stop for freshmen. There are quite a few issues in there. I encourage you to look at it. Not only is there our vacation that we did this semester, but there are a couple of initiatives that we're looking at completing next semester that will be on the horizon. We can kind of get a sneak peek at some of the more controversial things that are open there. I'm just kidding. But so I'll put that out weekly, and then you guys can knock those out with that.
Thank you, Ulysses. And that report is really great, and it's going to be incorporated into the report to President Gordon the end of the semester report that will go out next week. Next is a brief update from Carlos Toledo.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone had a great day. So if you guys have some time already, before we begin, we're going to do a photo campaign for the Fire Council. You can see posters of the Fair Hall, other buildings all over the campus. Please check them out. They're highlighting individuals from MBLC, ISC, and Carolina who are student leaders on campus and also leaders in the community. And then this next Friday, September 7th, there's going to be an official launch party for the Team 3 campaign. It's going to be 11:00 to 9:00. So if you guys are 21 years of age, you can check it out.
A couple FA members, including Juan Carlos and Ross, are also in the Think Greek campaign, so you'll see their posters around campus. I've taken down the ones that involve me, okay. I'm just one of them, actually. Oh, yes, VP Breeden also is in Trillium, if anyone was wondering where his kid is.
Are you serious?
Next is a AIDS Week update, Rep Kirk. It's AIDS Week condom show update.
So we've been going on the week in the early days. The movie screening was tomorrow we're coming for a fashion show at 6 o'clock on the Bear's Den. We're making clothes out of condoms. So please come. It's going to be a great time. It's early enough that we can still go to all the other restaurants to be back with us. And it comes from that.
Thanks. Next is an event calendar update, and I see that Kat Holmes from Student Activities Office is also in the audience, but I believe Juliana was going to make the update.
We all had a great Thanksgiving. Also, thank you to everybody that emailed from your group for the email. Thank you for putting this in the pilot program for the event calendar. We were looking for a great cross-section of group campaigns, so we're starting to get to that ultimate goal. Also, we're working with the administration and planning to meet 10 other people. So working on interviews with locals, just coming across some problems, concerns related to them expecting to be going and screening profiles. So we're working through that right now, but it's definitely a key initiative and it's something that we definitely want to get the whole essay behind. And I think that's just what we are very much talking about in as my video, you know, I mean,
do you want to add on anything? Or?
Really
good work. I think, you know, we'll see how it progresses, but it's a really cool initiative. And if you haven't responded to their emails about student organizations, do that. And then the last update is going back to VP Smith.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot that something. On Monday, A.T. Miller, who's the director, associate vice provost for the Office of Action and Diversity Initiative, told invited me to, on behalf of the SA and student body, go and participate in a conference that is going to be held in May. So by the time I'll be able to, you know, whoever else can take the job and be there, will be here. but there's a similar conference on race and ethnicity, which basically every year Cornell is invited to participate in it. They sent a small delegation of students, and this year they actually want to highlight what initiatives students are undertaking in regards to our ethnicity initiative. So that's going to be a week-long thing that I think actually has a 45 minutes to an hour presentation slot. So we've got to figure out what the world is going to say. It's kind of scary. You know what I say when I see? But so in the meantime, if you guys have any particular initiatives that you would like to be highlighted, if you could start sending those things, like I gather, I'd like to start early from highlighting them so I can kind of get this together.
Thank you, Lindsay. We are moving on to business of the day. As a side note to everyone in the audience, I don't think I've been as good about making this clear throughout the semester, but if you do want to be on the speakers list, we more than encourage you to speak on the issues. I think Ross went around and already got names of people wanting to speak, but just as an open invitation, so just let me know. So first on the agenda is Resolution 22, Orientation Education Program. And as they're going up there, just a side note, if Presidents Gordon and Dr. Corson Riker, who's the Executive Director of Gannett and standing in for VP Murphy and Dean Hubble today, do come, we'll probably cut them off and continue after they leave. Already. Opening up the speakers list is business of the day. It can be voted on today, and it can be debated. If anyone has any comments, let me know, and I'll put you on the speakers list. Okay. There's been a motion to vote on Resolution 22. Is there any? It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to vote on Resolution 22. Chelsea, we'll do a roll call vote. Is that okay with you guys? Huh? Couple questions. What were Brett Marshall's and Pritchett's votes?
Yes.
How many yeses did you have? Sorry. I had 25. Okay. By a vote of 25-0-0, Resolution 22 passes. Next, on the agenda is Resolution 27, extending availability of the Student Public Students Grant. Rep. Scalfo. And again, opening up the speakers list if anyone wants to speak.
So I know the answer to this question. I just wanted to know if you would think it would be appropriate just to put it in maybe a whereas clause, just indicating that this is a privately funded source of money and that it's not coming out of the student activity like it wants to. Next is VP Smith.
I just wanted to commend you guys on this. I think this is a wonderful initiative. And I'm very happy to see that there's a bit more publicity surrounding this. I actually had to take advantage of this from 2 years ago, I think, by sophomore year. It was due to some circumstances, and I'm so thoroughly grateful that this was actually offered. And I wish more students knew about it, because I feel like a lot more people could actually benefit from this. There are a lot of people that have a difficult circumstance, and you know, this might even be something that you might want to really push to the international community. Are there more people on the speaker's list? Unless anybody else has any more comes back, then call the questions if I think that we have.
It's been a motion to vote on Resolution 27. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to roll call vote again, Chelsea.
Yes.
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 Richard?
Yes.
Southall?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
DeMento?
Yes.
Yes. Well, in some ways, it's pretty neat. Yes.
Rep chose vote. Yes. Okay. By a vote of 25-0, resolution 27 passes. Yes. So we are actually going to move on to new business. DOE Weinberg will be here a little later. So we're moving on to resolution 28, student support for campus-wide plastic bag fee. Also, Sarah, if you could just introduce yourself and say your year for the record, that'd be great.
My name is Sarah. I'm here in
overall, it's just everybody, not just you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's meant to be like an education tool. The budget part is something you can see our
business
and see what we're getting on that for, but if you have it, if you have to ask you, do you want to have it back, it's an extra 5 cents, or do you want to use that back if you're always carrying it around, then it'll incentivize you.
Yeah, I know it's not very common, and it's not very common, but I just like there are places that really will only charge certain people for it, like they won't charge who come here, or of course visitors who are coming here, that's what I mean.
No, exactly.
So this is going to be everywhere, which is great. And then the second question is just, do you foresee revenue actually decreasing over the years? Like, it sounds hard, it's almost kind of like you hope revenue has decreased because you don't want people to keep using the plastic bags, and you kind of see that as a percentage. Almost like this isn't going to be the primary source of funding for the issues revolving the
private
facility.
Yeah, it's just the
initial.
Okay. And also the bottom, so it's revolving the
actual
facility. Sorry. This is the main for the money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great. Next is Rep. Bonatti.
So, I'm just going to the thousands of your staff started. Have you thought about maybe making this like a sector and then go back to many European countries using like biodegradable bags for transitioning from the kind of bags that you use to like biodegradable ones that wouldn't be as damaging to the environment and also organic engineering?
Yeah, so the Cornell store is actually running a very supply of plastic bags, probably this January. So I've actually met with them and they decided, they've looked at a lot of vendors and they decided on how to be able to recycle plastic bags and have them to use in the store. We have a lot of that, but we're
supposed to I can comment on that question.
You're not on the speaker's list.
I know, but it's in response to Ronani's question.
Someone can yield to you if they want. Next is Rep. Kerr.
I have a few questions about this. First one is, can you spoke with Cornell store about the alternative to the bag as an alternative, or should you just not set it up and have a bag?
There may be some experience that the bag needs to be good enough to have textbooks, and there may be some that they have to take bags, which is not textbooks. But, I mean, anything is not very, it's not too much of a burden on students to have to take 5 minutes for sharing with the bag.
Also, can you figure out the mechanics of getting that 5 cents from those places to this whatever fund it's going to be? Like, because I'm sure the 150,000 is an estimate. So, have you figured out how you're going to actually kind of measure for that bag and getting that?
Well, the
alcohol
is already using the 5 cents to wherever you want. The only problem with your problem is that it's not set in stone quite yet, from my understanding. So, depending on when they actually implement this, we're going to have to be following up with them and make sure that the back end of that goes somewhere and not just put the money into other sustainable funds or something to promote sustainability, whatever that could entail.
Next is Rep. Lott.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a first question, when you see the DC is up to the but one thing that's going to be the DC is that the facility is that it's a good source of data that you can kind of use that to go over to find out problems. So I guess it's something why we're going to do this. Like, I'm not going to do a different scenario than you find out if you're going to use that.
Why does that mean in addition to the product store?
Right. Why client on tax,
Next is Rep. Uoka. Next is Parliamentarian Santangelo.
I just have a logistical question in looking at, this really works for groups such as like the Cornell Store, Prepared Necessity, places where you're buying things. But how does this affect campus groups or academic departments that hand out free bags for Cornell Day or any of like the interesting stuff, things like that?
Yeah, because the Cornell Store will actually, once the city comes into place, when organizations like that request plastic bags, they're going to judge students, the Cornell Store will now implement that fee for those bags.
Trustee Boris.
Hi guys, thank you very much. This is great. I kind of want to echo a few of the questions from the two of my last about exactly how this money will be distributed. And my main question is, one, when Cornell says they were willing to donate, is that after they come to the cost for plastic bags and handling them? And then my second question is, before the community college money is set up, I know that you guys will like put it wherever you want, which I guess to get two questions is where you want to put it. And second of all, it seems actually to be the other responsible for doing it. But what does this look like until the money is set up?
So when I saw her wanted to be taking any of the fee for themselves, the price that they give the bags are reflected, which is the price of the product.
I'm not sure.
And as far as the bags, then making sure that they go to the right place, we would actually have to sit down then and determine exactly where you want to put it. And that is still a work in progress, but by the time that they implement, they actually implement it, there will be a plan.
Rep. Sanko.
Hey guys, thanks for bringing us. Two quick questions. My first is there going to be any publicity about this? You know, at the store that says these 5 cents are going to XYZ sort of sustainable organization. And then my second question is there any way to ensure that people are actually, I don't know if it's an extra button for the 5 cents, but that these 6 employees are actually doing this and that other stores are actually doing this?
Yeah, so the store is going to have a wide variety of different things that are going to come about, and can't really be educated about help out from like that legacy, and they're also planning to kind of separate the in the future kind of separate the islands for people who want that.
Next is Rep. Marshall. Sure. So I don't have an answer for that.
No, you don't.
The our own rules. That's not true. Our own rules say that it has to go through a committee, so it doesn't say that it has to go through every like relevant committee. For everyone, I do recommend, you know, just as a learning point, you know, to look around. But as of now, it's still okay as it is. I do recommend that, based on those sentiments, that you speak with Jill after, you know, and the dining committee, though. Just based on that feedback. Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it goes to the point that Sarah made earlier, that it's a sense of the body and kind of recommendation. So President Scorn actually just got here. Welcome. So we are going to put this on hold for a couple until the presentation's over, and we'll go back into the speakers list after, unless we're John Chen, President Scorn out. So President Scorn's gonna present, and then we're gonna go back into this resolution after, if that's okay. Welcome, President Scorn. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come speak with DSA and answer some questions.
I do want to say that you're always so polite to me to say you guys are the top priority. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So I was thinking about the last meeting of the various speakers meeting, which I think we have a long relationship with UA. Second phase committee, the Department and we reviewed the fact that there are five second phase committees established, and although students were not formally represented in the first phase, where students are represented under one of the five committees and distributed to the students, I think Dr. Corso might have been here associated with the for student academic services, distributed that. I think we're going to get that money for the rest of sometime in the future. And each of those committees has two students on it. In each case, one of the students was appointed after a volunteer, volunteering to come forward by the Supreme Court of Justice, and the other one was, just looking quickly and sure this is accurate, was given by some other mechanism through the through an embargo related to the sentence. And just to remind the group, those five second phases that we're working right now are communication, which is communicated by page, survivor support, education training, Dr. Randall Sanders is also here, and security at home, and climate nutrition. So we just talked a bit about the progress. As I promised on campus, I'll have an update on how that process is going forward when I send everybody the sort of later this semester message, which will be a couple of weeks from now. Your, if you remember, I think your last time was on the 14th, 13th, 14th, something. I know the video said it different times. So there's some of the things we talked about last night, and I wanted to share that with you, and now I'm glad to take your questions today.
Sure. And I am going to open up the speakers list in a second. As I mentioned earlier, if people in the audience would like to ask questions too, we go three assembly members, and that, or two assembly members, and then the third question is from a community member. And also, I didn't see Dr. Person Reichert earlier, but welcome as well to student assembly meeting. Dr. Person Reichert is the executive director of Gannett Health Services and associate VP of the university. And feel free to come up to the table as well if you want. Okay. So moving into the speakers list for question and answer, the first question is to Rep. Kerr.
Thank you for taking time under your extremely hectic schedule to come to the meeting. My question is in relation to the net and as sort of generating a lot of buzz among students on campus, especially in the last few years, we were wondering if the university has a plan to commemorate those students on the fence that's coming down to create awareness over why they were in the first place and why they're there right now. You guys are planning something that they feel like you can afford if you have a student.
Or to debt, whatever. Freshman Representative Harris.
Hi, President. Thank you for coming today. All members. So this is in response to you, but you're going to come out of the way and you're also coming out. Also, this is the grant that was expanding the performance at some point. I initially got a number of the performances offered, but what efforts are being made to ensure that, like you say, for people in the university, we have teachers teaching on campus and not online?
Yeah, so this is a really good question. And, I know I don't want to start talking about all the answers, but give me a little bit to talk about a couple of issues. Embedded in your question are three really important concepts. I'll give you a couple of them. One is the fact that, in part because of financial concerns, but not totally, Cornell, a lot of other professors and colleges and universities around the country are having to change their offerings in certain areas. Some of that is based definitely on financial concerns. Some of it is based on waning students in certain areas and waxing students in other areas. So there will, there have been, for sure, and I'm confident across the country, perhaps in Cornell, occasionally times when offerings will be eliminated in some areas. So I think if you, with one accept the premise that because of the recession, because of the cost of education as it is, and concern about raising tuition even more aggressively than it's already being raised, I think we're going to be seeing more things like this. There's partnerships between the libraries, as you may know, like Maggie, Columbia, and Cornell, and Yale as well, but definitely Columbia and Cornell. The partnerships between high school occur. There's no question in this case, as in the case of massively online offerings, it's going to be a different approach to education. Whether it's better or worse, I don't know. I agree with the premise of what you're the underlying embedded research of your question. But I think the real choice will not necessarily be can you do it the way that it's traditionally done, or for us, like when we design a college, or this way, maybe can you do it this way or can you not do it at all? And I hope that's not the case, but I think we're going to have to work with it and make it work with it as soon as we can. A second issue embedded in it is what the importance of language education. And I personally think it's unbelievably important for a long way of human ecosystems in general. But the dynamic between students and men, and when the faculty who actually set the curriculum and decide it's appropriate, is going to be the ultimate arbiter of how those things go forward. I'm going to continue to be involved locally and actually try to urge people to think about the importance of languages. But at the end of the day, it's dependent on what you all and your successors think. And in Europe, class is 15 of them. So, you know, we should use this during the time for other students as well. And the third issue is larger, I think you raised about more in the university. As you know, I'm sure there's a lot of discussion now about what will college education look like in the future. I have to admit that at my state of the game, I have a hard time imagining that we will not have residential type campuses like this. I think we all will have that to some extent, but that could be one of the most fashion point of view. For now, the university is going to pledge and manage and project into the future. We are going to be the role of the university for the best and majority of what we do. But there's a lot of management that they want to get such as whether we have to build a new library, what the library is going to be used for. And as you know, we consolidate. You've already been listening to this, but those who are older than me in this body will know that we've already consolidated, for example, some of the libraries on campus, and some of these turn them over to student space for study and socialization. So I hope what happens at many points is there's a lot of chance for people to kick this around. And if you think it's appropriate, schedule open meetings about it, or town halls on students, or whatever it might be. The last thing I want to mention real quickly is that this is another great example where I hope that the essay will consider speaking with the USC. And I encourage the leaders of all the literature programs to directly interact with each other. This is an issue that is very much interaction between faculty and students directly. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to try to be over with that conversation, but ultimately, you guys have to decide as elected leaders. Do you want to spend some of your time as an assembly interacting
Thank you. Next is a community member, Jen Weidman. And feel free to come up to the table and speak into the microphone. Just for the record, say your name and year.
And just like in the very state, I can't remember how long ago it was, that the essay and the others developed that literature spirit thing, but I hope that was 3 years ago.
Okay.
The event that you organized with colleagues right up to earlier, those are very, very effective ways, not only in education from students to leaders, but very, very effective ways of keeping in front of other universities. At that last event that we had up here, as you know, the chair of the board of trustees is here, he's very well planned for that reason. And so I think just to bring you up tonight is an effective way of bringing it forward. If the issue is taking this on in a way, it doesn't require a resolution, it's up to you obviously, but something that you want more communication about, you know, that I make a service, I know that of course is not going to be a service, and I don't even think it's the whole U.S. to be ordered with Dr. Burns and be back and depending on whether I'm going to need them or not between young and old. So I appreciate you being here. Yeah, you can stay here.
Thanks, Jen, and we'll definitely follow up with you about that also. Sure. We will definitely have sort of the different leadership on these issues coordinate that. The next question for Dr. Janet Korsenreicher, President Scorton, and Jen goes to Brett Muir.
Hi, President Scorton. Thank you very much for being here. My question is to Paul Dr. Snyder. As our society's representative, I'm one of those large. When I came to Cornell, I came here for the pursuit of a flexible and diverse education. And this isn't necessarily just my opinion, but a lot of my colleagues as well in college. So I just, Cornell University, as you know, and then it offers a wide range of educational opportunities amongst the seven different colleges. And I feel as though sometimes our students are constrained by the student credit requirement. I know that a few years ago, in the past, it's come up with actually trying to reduce the number of credits to be comparable with, you know, the other colleges, whether that's 80 or, you know, some of the colleges are close to 46. I just feel as though if the credits were reduced, the required credits in the college were reduced, arts and science students would be able to better pursue that wide, you know, range of educational opportunities that Cornell has to offer.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you bringing it up. I definitely agree that, you know, few business sense as possible for broader education is important. Having said that, one of the principles I try to operate on is to not oppose myself on the drivers of certain bodies, including you all on certain issues. So I have to take the specifics of this back. I believe personally, I'll talk to the provost about it, and make sure that the current team of college arts and sciences give you a little edge and get some sort of answer to you. If you could send me just a quick note with your email, that's the person I have to sort of open the action, but I'm a paper, I'm a thoroughly admirer. So if you send me an email with the data sort of report on that, and you talk to me, we're going to talk about it. You don't have to say the whole thing over again. I have a message. And I'll take you to provost tomorrow. You don't get any ideas, no promises about it, but if you do, I'll take it from tomorrow. I can't promise you I'll talk to the team tomorrow. We'll get this session working with the team. And you must, through the mechanism of being represented, you must also have some contact with the community leadership,
right? Right. I actually met the team before.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Yeah. Do you want to share your address?
We have time for two more questions. The first is to Rep. Chang.
Clerk Chang, Rep. Chang.
Chelsea. And the last question is to Rep. Bonatti.
Good evening, President Porter. It's a pleasure to see you again here. Last time you came, I remember we discussed about the white paper on the international relations passport.
So he doesn't have many meetings with the IT in his college office, and I'm working on how to improve the situation for international students, both from the side of the campus life and as well as the financial aid, because we know it's not very hard to get all the machines like enough. So I was just wondering, in terms of, of course, we know that the financial aid is very hard to get in terms of expanding and further from the north, but I was just wondering, what kind of priority is for Cornell at the moment, not just in terms of like having financial aid for international students, but also from one of my conversations at the meeting, that we saw our focus staff that for the last 19 years, we're waiting to see an international center for Cornell, and it's for students, an international student center that other universities have, and of course, they all told me that they actually couldn't do anything about that because there is no money. And I was just wondering, they told me that the only way would be between you and the administration. So I was just wondering how we prioritize the university, not just with our international planning, bringing Cornell to the world, but also the world to Cornell, with international students who are a very great resource on our campus. In terms of with that, incorporating an international comfort and not just an administrative one. So,
great. I appreciate what you said about this. The status of the international division white paper, as I know you know, for everybody who's here, is that the faculty completed a draft, showed the provost and the university comment, they completed the final draft, and the provost and I and the group of others are so thinking about this actually where to go. Very active consulting. I've heard from a lot of people, very much appreciate having heard from you. And very soon will come out with a list of email of 20 and 30 something like that recommendation for what we might do all of those. On the issue of an international center, in the 16th year I know there are no one's giving a direct proposal to an international center. We would have to decide as a community exactly where to put our pressure, where our children would go for international funding. My own advice, and I'm calling it advice, it doesn't mean that this is the final result, is that we need money for undergraduate need-based financial aid for some of the things like language instruction and cultural instruction underlying internationalization, and for some other areas. And to be very open, I haven't thought about the concept of the international center. Not that I'm objecting to anything like that, but it just has to come from where these other issues have come. We are making enormous progress on philanthropic and other realities for financial aid in general. Most of those monies, you know, are going to domestic students. It's a very high priority for me to change that. We are making progress on doing that by philanthropic work, working with alumni from various parts of the world, and traveling to India to raise those funds. We've had quite success in India. We've had some success with some funding to help academic students in a variety of nations and in some other areas. It's very small compared to the money available. And I think part of the reason over the years is that this push has been harder in American higher education is that such a preponderance of international students are undergraduate and professional student ranks, and the funding mechanisms for graduate education and professional education are so different, especially graduate education, that the pressure hasn't been there. But in schools that are very international, like Cornell, which ranks consistently in the top couple of dozen schools in terms of the number of international students, there is more pressure to do this. And by the way, I know that I try to be very vocal about this nationally. This also goes with undocumented students, which is another whole subset, and other aspects of it. So it's a sort of a promissory answer. I am aware of it. I'm working on it. The International Center has its own community in a form like that. If you want to take money and send me a note on today's episode, that would be great. And I will share that with people who will be better informed, like Dr. Calvin, Vice Provost of International Relations, the provost, I as associate director, and now the senate director, Dr. Wolfram, and others who may have already thought about this. And could you help me notify, send me a time clip of what it is you're thinking about? Please don't be offended if I don't mention it before the end of the semester, which is dependent on the prioritization, but I will be adding more work on the first one, and I'll eventually get it back to you. So I appreciate you, continuing to follow the way. It's very, very much better than
that.
President Scorton, Dr. Professor Reichert, thank you very much for coming today and answering questions. And Jen, we really appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you. Is this our last time doing this semester? Probably.
Yes.
So I want to take a moment to thank you for all the good work that you've done. I'm going to just stack up our negotiations, come to my mind, some of that I told you, all that stuff that I have learned for the previous semester. But I want to tell you very quickly, so how much I appreciate how much you put in and how much you add very constructively. I hope everyone has good into this semester. I've been able to see all of you individually. And I hope the seniors here start getting working on caffeine in preparation for staying away from my commencement season. It's going to be very long and dry, and it's going to be a hot day, and you're in your caffeine balance. So be careful about this.
Thank you for that advice, President Scorton. And all SA members will go right into more agenda, so if you could all stay seated. We are actually going to go back into business of the day before we go back to new business, and that's the elections rules, and then we'll go back to Sarah and Sarah's resolution. 28. So do you want to present on it, or?
So by now, hopefully you're all familiar with the ancillary election rules, despite the past few meetings, going over them in complete detail, the amendment that was proposed and the agreed upon that was added. Thank you, Chelsea, for that.
There's been a motion to vote. There's one person on the speaker's list.
I'll withdraw.
Trustee Boris.
Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
And thank you guys all for coming. I really appreciate it. I wanted to ask, I don't know, you probably listening to change. I don't know if that's a good deal, but I kind of want to get your feedback on it. And that the, when we're talking about eligibility, and because you have to, plan to be here for this entire term, so it's going to be wrong as well as it can't run. My question is why you're not similarly consistent with people that run and then go abroad in the spring. And I know people on the SA have done that, and I'm very happy with some members of the SA, because they're very good members, but when we're thinking about being consistent with the rules, why is it that we say that you cannot go abroad in the fall and be an SA member, but you can go abroad in the spring, we'll still let you be in the SA position? And just want to ask if there's any thoughts that you could
thank you for your question, Mr. Borders. The intent of the rules in the education is that people have to serve their time in their term, and this is where I was in the spring of 2013, and they're being individually on campus for the entire 2013-2014 year. That being said, we're not asking people to sign or document or get any sort of collateral or anything like that. But the expectation is similar to the rules that are being hired here. We don't distinguish between either semester. The truth is, you never go away at the end. Similarly, people don't know their class for sure. You can't necessarily ask them, 100% of
doesn't necessarily mean a hold on that. But the rules don't differentiate in the sense.
It's just an enforceability issue. I think this came up last year when I was on the broad. I didn't even know about this because I've heard it in the city until the last time of the week. So just some cities are very in the game.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I love to do it, but I just, no, with all of that perfect, yeah. But I just say, you know, we can't probably enforce it ahead of time, but we can retroactively enforce it, and that if you end up being in a position, you're not allowed to come to the election, which I'm not proposing now, probably to be a game, but it's something to think about
for the next generation of city trustees and city representatives. Next is VP Smith.
Somebody give me a mic, man.
Chris Allen today. Somebody just decided to throw a bad state in the room. Such people are going to check up the tire truck for the name.
Who was on the crowd?
I think the proposal, the not your proposal that you're making right now, would kind of be a little bit discriminatory. A lot of us don't know specifics about when we're going to go. I know being a dual degree student, like my plan changes every direction because Professor Quinn got retired and got off the report. And so you have to change everything. So that means I don't think that should be the focus of our election. I think there will be phenomenal people that would run for the assembly, people who are truly dedicated. The time that they're here, they're going to fight, they will do a phenomenal job. But, I mean, if you want to know that we should talk about reading rules and what that is. Anyway, let's call this question.
Amen. There's been a motion to vote. There were two people who wanted to speak. No? Okay. What?
You don't have to ask them that.
There's been a motion to vote. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Do you have dissent? Seriously. These are the election rules that govern the elections. If people have something to say, they can say it before we vote on it. Okay. Okay, so I'm not going to entertain that motion, and we're going to reopen up the speaker's list.
I guess this is something that I pointed out to you earlier, but I also just like the assembly to be aware of this, because I think that, you know, as the changes to the free system were rolled out yesterday publicly, I think under campaign ethics in Section 8 is really important that you as director of elections and as members of the assembly and other people who attempted to run take close attention to this, and somehow we figured out a way that you can actually support that rule, because I think that it is important for people running for the assembly and to represent members of the student body that they are acting ethically and ensuring the mental and physical health of members.
Absolutely, and whether you agree or not agree, it's very important that we all act objectively and divorce our free roles from our roles and our responsibilities as members of the student assembly and as the leader to be, or most of us, partner with the administration. Supporting changes to remove teasing of harmful behaviors. One way to do that is through mechanisms such as the city assembly. So we are the people in the action, and it's our responsibility to agree to that and be very restricted. And we won't stand for our need as part of our own process.
Rep Block. Yes.
So when people say agree, they don't mean that you don't have to work on your Greek system, right?
No, they mean the Greek system. They don't mean Greek students. Exactly.
But if you are a Greek and there's a Greek candidate from Greece, you should also have a
Greek. Thank you, Tom. It's a good clarification. Decorum, please. Lots.
So we're
But it's a current identity versus new election, so then, like, I, for example, can hold that without reference, not a new election. Correct.
So there's been a motion to amend. I'm sorry, could you repeat the rule number? I know which one it is, I just don't know under which rule. Under what article? What page? 5? Okay. Okay. On page 5, there's been a motion to strike page 5, section 2, subsection rule 2. We're now going to open up. Has it been seconded? I'll put you first on the speaker's list. So we are now opening up debate on this amendment. First on the speaker's list is sponsors.
So the logic behind it is to more prevent you from spending money as a launching platform. So like, if you want to hold an event, the SA is large to be able to throw an event. Like the SA, like during that time period, so much individual candidates going out there to try and in fact, this is our outreach event because that's the focusing out there in campaign season. So like, you shouldn't be using this that one was a lot of the rule. I think obviously like if anything the essay needs to be more representative during the party, it needs to be essay at large as opposed to individual representative, whether you're college specific or not.
Yeah, there's a point of information. Yeah, lovely.
For average sensitivity,
so I'm going to yield to VP Gitlin, who is also on the speaker's list anyway. So,
well, I think first of all, I'll touch on the speaker's
list.
Well, one of them, I really agree with Rep. Kerr. I think we're going to be posting a lot of general letters around the next year, but I also think that it's important that during this time, during the election season, people can go out to other events for the purpose of having outreach flying in terms of just getting out there to other organizations instead of posting their own. In terms of Rep. Lumpy's concern, the only thing that I would say is, even if I'm the person who would get to write off whether you're like an outreach event, but I'd have that there should be a conflict of interest in whether I approve or disapprove of you as an outreach event. I personally would not think I would, but I don't think that would be fair for me to be too bad in that situation.
Do you want to continue?
Okay, this is important to all this works. How it works in a block after I just changed what it actually does. It's not a restriction on your ability to work. It's not a restriction on your ability to be out there and represent the SA and do your job as a representative. It's merely a way to make that more kind of productive. So avoiding certain under which you would be subjugating your responsibilities and using it to do them for the sake of getting re-elected. I would just hope that in the future rather than something stupid or without a purpose, you would be a little more upfront in your reasoning for this agreement.
Rep. Brasick.
So Tom and I were also engineering and both the New York team. So in the case of both one day and both one of the events, this limits our ability to event for we have semester regardless of our so we're kind of curious why digital marketing outreach to our constituents why this is restricted because both in the case that both representatives are able to run in. I'll leave this on the board for you.
Yes, simply I guess it's kind of not exactly what our legislature has been saying. We're doing our outreach event in the next week and a half. It's going to involve collecting survey data and then taking that to the team in the next semester to get, kind of training. We have respondents, we have respondents, others in the assembly.
in order for us to fulfill our duties, I feel that it is crucial that we not be limited in the FQ, then collect further data and opinions from our constituency during this very specific time period, beginning next semester. So I'd like to bring up the thought that perhaps there'd be a situation that the general body could approve certain, exceptions to this rule, especially if it's not that the individual representative represents the that I would be acting together, not simply the individual trying to, handle the relationship. If that makes sense, yes.
So, hold on one second. So let me just ask a clarification question, because from my vantage point, it seems like people are getting a little confused with what this is saying. And correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm trying to be objective here in reading this. When you say not hosting constituency outreach events, you mean official student assembly outreach events that has the SA banner that is approved by VP of Outreach. Right. But that does not mean that according to these rules, people are not allowed to organize campaign events.
No. You're supposed to be close to it. That's the idea. So if you're fucking sure, that is not your outreach event, for example. We're not keeping you from doing your job. You're supposed to be doing your job. So one very small part of your job is your schedule to coffee hour or schedule food outreach event. And again, that's why we're talking to you and Mr. Everett as well as so that your larger campaign, et cetera, are good. Your larger outreach efforts are good. And part of your responsibility. So you're saying you can't have these, blatantly self-promotion type stuff events as opposed to see you unfair event.
But I'm going to keep going down the speakers list. I didn't mean to sway the conversation. I'm just trying to clarify it for myself also. It's VP Smith, and then you're up.
Somebody call somebody. I actually feel I actually like this rule, but I feel like the confusion or people are just a bit worried because of the length of the duration of it. And I think maybe Representative Block considered after this amendment redoing his amendment to actually look at to almost strike the part where it's from the state election materials are actually made available, and instead do it from when the actual material deadline is. Because people, I think the fear people have is as representatives, we're in this huge chunk of time where, I know that people are saying, the world really has, we want to do our jobs and things like that, but still we're fearful of the fear that's going to be construed as a campaign. But if we're doing it before the actual deadline where material is due, then we're not official candidates at that time, so we might be reconsidering running. We might not even make it after that. So once the deadline is actually due and we're materials are submitted, then that would be more sense for us to no longer do any more events. And that's 3 weeks when you don't do events. That's not that rough. I mean, look around. Some people have hosted events all day long, so let's not even. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Again, I've been going back and forth on that for the first meeting actually, and from the date election material available to the day of the petition deadline for election materials.
No. So we can't do that.
From the day your petition is available.
Okay.
So I'm not amending now.
Yes.
So we cannot, you can't make that amendment yet because we're discussing an amendment to strike the
amendment.
Okay. Who? Yeah.
So what is the challenge review committee? Or is it, am I reading this wrong? Like, what is the committee for challenging?
Next is Representative.
Maybe some clarification is needed, if I'm understanding what you're saying. But if I do if I was hearing you correctly, and coffee hour or sort of venue that you want to present in the current agreement, such as that time period? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, so if I have coffee hour with me, naturally, as my team coffee hour event, we actually call it human coffee too.
Okay.
So that would not be allowed. You collecting survey data is not a physical event itself.
No. Okay, well, the survey data, if I remember correctly, one of them, by President Smith, he collects survey data and adds coffee hour information, correct?
Yeah.
So that's all we're going to do is what the data is in the coffee hour. You can solicit it through events, but when you have a coffee hour, people are coming to you, they see you, the nature of the event is the issue, not the nature of the survey question. Well, turn the event to the survey question, you want to predicate your survey data on having a coffee hour.
Yes, but I mean, that seems to be the most active way for us to collect survey data is through an event that, collects, the social nature. So I mean, I guess my concern is that if the use of the position of power is what, being addressed through this specific portion of the revenue guidelines, then why not think more about the opportunity for more of these budget changes consideration, as opposed to blanket kind of rule.
Because we're going to be the outlier measures working to lose our activity, lose our ability to get there, actual decisions that will really allow for those anomalies.
Next is Rep Block.
Okay, well, I'm glad to represent this in my community of the data, so I'm going to withdraw my motion, and then I'm going to have a Smith to vote this call to
I don't know if you can entertain the motion yet.
After the deadline of materials.
Okay.
So it's going to be from, I'm going to give you back to my calendar.
From the deadline for lighting materials, and this calendar here, that's the quote with the words.
So instead of you're striking, Reverend Swift was in my front, you're striking from, you're striking from the date of lighting materials, and you're striking from date available, or you're adding the deadline for lighting materials.
So now we not post an official outreach event from the deadline for election material to the last day.
Also, let us take a break.
Okay, so just to clarify this, because everyone's been talking over each other, which is pretty rude. Basically, you are changing the time frame here to for when election materials are handed in, and you find that amendment friendly.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any dissent to that? So now there's been a motion. So you don't need to vote on the amendment, right? Okay. So now we're going to move into the general speakers list again, and actually, Brett Muir, you're on it.
I just wanted to quickly revise a conversation that Representative Pritchett had last week, and that was about involving social media in the election process. As a member of the Finance Task Force, I feel though it's necessary to take every opportunity to include bilateral organizations in the city assembly, and I feel though elections should be no different. So, with that, I'm going to make a motion to amend Section 4, pictures that candidates must have a photo taken either, have a photo taken either in the office of assembly, supplementary hall, or by a social media member before the petition deadline.
Don made, Rep. Muir made the motion. What page was that? That the picture could be taken by 109 Day Hall or by Slope Media before the petition deadline. Is that motion seconded? You can't dissent to that. So we're gonna open up the speakers list on this amendment. First on it. Hold on, let me just get the names down. For God's sake. But first is EDP Mueller. Keep your hands up if you want to talk. So I'm going to let you guys speak first, and then you guys can go first, and then Mueller.
So
I got you.
We encourage candidates to for their campaign posters for every other piece of their campaign puzzle to use social media and any other biometric name for the purpose of the pictures that are on the website and the pictures that are used for that official website, such as on everything. The Office of Assembly Committee, the Election Committee, and other leaders who are in the It is absolutely, absolutely important to maintain the quality of the area. The only way to do that is to make the same picture at the same place. Not only thinking about the extra difficulties that that causes the Office Assembly, which is the Election Committee, it creates an inherent inequality in different single pictures. We can do that for every other set of materials and the other biometric organizations and partners, however we may choose to partner, we encourage you to do that. For the purpose of these pictures, it does not take away from anything that has done through the Office Assembly.
So, you know, I think that it's ridiculous to impose this on social media, you know, on top of everything that John argued about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm going to speak on two quick issues here. The first is that accessibility, once again, is to, you have the notion that, you know, we have a 9-to-5 office with beautiful Amy sitting here taking our photos, or Amy, or Ari, a whole staff of people that are waiting to take your photos when you need to take them during that period. Every single one of them is exactly the same. It doesn't need to be artistic, anything like that. And they also handle these photos with people who come in from abroad, who are sending for some other events in the past. At this point, I really think we're wasting time talking about this. We talked about it every last time. While I have the microphone, I will say one last thing speaking to the previous issue, just to clarify, the reason, as an ex-officio member of the Elections Committee, the reason that we talk about having this limitation for putting outreach standards on is that you guys have a whole team. You don't, whatever you want to be doing for your outreach event, schedule it outside that 3 weeks. That's the end of the story. Quit complaining about it. You have 28 other weeks in the semester.
Thank you.
Which rule is that?
Oh my gosh. I still have a microphone that the chair of the council has recognized many of those points of information about the procedure someone was talking. I'm going to say that with this, I call the next question.
Okay. It's been called to question. It was seconded, but there's dissent. So we are going to vote on this amendment. Okay? Yes. There's the photo amendment, and we're voting to vote on it. If you vote yes, then that means we're closing debate and voting on it. If you vote no, then that means you still think it should be spoken about further. Yes. Sure, if you'd like to explain your dissent.
Well, I just have a formal procedure for this thing. For representatives of the side in which issues are voting there at the end of the time versus other issues, I don't think it's fair to vote. Well, I mean, it just seems like that's a little
So we're going to vote on it, and if you are in favor of voting and closing debate, please raise your glass. If you're against voting and you want to continue debate, abstentions. by a vote of 21-3-1. That closes debate, and we're going to vote on this amendment, which is stating that you could also get your picture taken by school meeting. Sure. So, actually, it's fine. We're just going to clap. If you're in favor of this amendment, if you're in favor of Slope Media also being able to take pictures, please raise your flag. If you're not in favor, abstentions by a vote of 2-21-2, the amendment fails and is going back into the regular speakers list. And that is Rep. Lumley.
Sorry for the whole thing, but I just like to go back to the conversation that the Custom Board has brought up before about sending off for some speakers and some being called.
Could you speak a little louder?
Just to clarify on that, I can clarify on the requirement aspect of it. It is embedded in the curriculum that you go to Rome, and they set it up so that you go either the fall or spring, depending on whether or not you're an architect, an artist, or a planner. But as we said, well, they set it up so that both of the requirements are filled when you go there. But that's normally either your third year or fourth year, depending on what department you're in. However, students do have the option to opt out of that, and that is usually if they are doing things like a dual degree. And actually, in most cases, students are doing a dual degree or pursuing one of our other programs, like the Urban Residential in your city, or other residential that they get for doing video. That is not, it doesn't happen that often, but people do that. I think the rule is fine as it is good. In all honesty, they're not that many people from AA interested in being on the assembly, and that's proven by the fact that over the years there has not been more than 2 years, and maybe when I got here, when I ran out of over 3 years. So, yeah.
Cool.
Well, I didn't remember my mom too, but yeah, which part?
Next is. You called a question? Okay, sorry, I'm here. There's a motion to vote, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? This is on the elections rules, the entire elections rules. Seeing none, we're going to roll call vote on the elections rules. And before that happens, I'd just like to once again congratulate DOE Weinberg and the entire elections committee. It was a very, for the most part, seamless process, or at least their part was a seamless process.
Yes.
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 By a vote of 25-0, the elections was passed. Just a quick comment about sort of the debate earlier. Obviously, everyone is allowed to bring up, you know, any issue. But, like, just keep in mind, you know, what's on the agenda and what we're really trying to do and the issues that we're really trying to pass. And there are always going to be competing interests, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to push, you know, trying to, utilize the bylaw-funded organization or other interests. That's just the example today. Just keep them in mind that there are a lot of different things we're trying to work on, a lot of important things for the student body, and we, you know, just keep that in mind moving forward. We're going back into Resolution 28, Student Support for Campus-Wide Class Tag Fee. What?
Before we get started, I'm just going to make a clarification.
Sure.
This resolution is in no way meant to offend anyone, and when you mention this resolution, we have the intention of working with the Cornell store and guiding and guiding and attending the National Committee meeting, etc.
Okay, so we're opening up the speakers list again. Rep Stelfo.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still new business.
Okay, so it's of my understanding that a few years back, Dining actually had, this was in a response to a question somebody else had about why don't we go to standards in Europe with biodegradable bags. And I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago, Dining actually did have biodegradable bags, and they were just extremely costly, and then without having something like this to make up for them. So that's, I just wanted to respond to that question. I was responding to a question.
Oh, okay. Rep Muir. Rep Stefanko. Yeah. Yeah.
So, motion to extend the meeting until 7 p.m. officially?
We actually did already in our email communication.
Does it need to be on the record or no? No.
We're extending until 7 p.m.
We don't do it.
So, it says 6:30 on the agenda.
What?
It says 6:30 on the agenda.
Motion to extend the meeting until 7 p.m.
That's what I said.
Hold on 1 second. We apparently don't have the room right now, so we're figuring out where to continue the meeting.
We're not
going to
get this again.
Okay. Well, we move to a different room. I need to move back to 2 minutes. So the other room is. We're not going to get you all in the other people's last question.
Yeah, sorry about that. Stefanko.
Oh, you already know.
Yeah. We're figuring out.
I don't know if Representative Ballard and Sarah's final friend, but I would like to make a motion. I would like to motion to make this business of the day due to the nature of your guys working with the Cornell store and what I see.
So we're having a meeting tomorrow. We are having a meeting tomorrow. There's still stuff on the agenda. So if it doesn't, like, this will come up tomorrow. Yeah.
Why are you saying that regarding the resolution, this is going to happen?
So we're going to go to one last question by Rep. Harris, and then this is going to come up tomorrow again for more discussion.
I will not.
Okay. So this will come up at tomorrow's meeting. It will be business of the day tomorrow, and we'll debate it further, and maybe we can get some questions answered in the next 24 hours. Okay. Great. Okay. So I think in the interest of time, and because we no longer have the room, we are going to. Can we have the room? Amy, do you think we can have the room for another 15? Oh, okay, fine. Okay, great. So we are going to move on to Resolution 30, approving the Student Assembly Finance Commission's Executive Board Members and Commissioners.
Can you text Renee?
We're not going to vote on this today. It'll come up again tomorrow.
So, pretty much, everyone knows many members of the Student and Environmental Commission.
Wait, what?
Essentially, the SAC is conducting this application and assessment program for the semester. With a lot of outreach, we're looking at a new composition of applicants, and as you can see, the resolution uses the members who were accepted to submit to the commission credit. And in pursuant with the SA or the Student and Finance Commission, as it is pointed out in the SA, the new composition membership, as well as the executive board, which is just elected on Monday, must be approved by the Student Assembly. That is why we have the resolution here. As you can see, the new composition
Yeah. We're going to open up the speakers list now. Rep. Lovely.
Just a question about the methodology for selecting the new members and the new board members. Can you just elaborate on this for our
information? Yeah, sure. So basically, and then the commission commission, we accepted maybe 12 new commissioners.
Next is Ref Scalfo.
I didn't get on the speaker, but I thought I'd go nominate.
Sorry, but not. Okay. Sorry, I wrote down Scalfo.
We're both at nine.
And so I was wondering. like the commission for selection of the list like that, and if you ever consider having like an anonymous system, so every application with a number of votes that you're making, because I'm sure you're aware in the past that you have got a lot of blood press different kinds of that and the
that they did this semester, and it's really amazing. That's the end of the speaker's
call. Call question?
Oh, Rep. Cho.
I guess my only question is, this is my personal experience aside. If you look at the entire executive board, I think the majority of them follow the same. They all have the same organization. And I'm just wondering how much I'm expecting this. I guess it's sort of really the executive board, but I'm not going to be able
to. Do you want to say something?
What are we going to do? That is the very thing of the CXP.
Well, the co-chair in the government is not a member of the organization. I mean, yeah, that was the marker of the group of five of us. Yeah, well, I haven't really checked out anymore. It's all been under the Yeah, it seems like a lot. There are a lot of members of the CXP on information that's undeniable. But I don't think that prevents us from doing a really good job. Nor does it prevent us from reaching out to, different organizations that have different people to get the best outcome. So, yeah, it might be a little alarming, but at the end of the day, I don't think it negatively impacts us.
Okay. This is
what happened to the
I don't know. It's always been passed, so I actually don't know. I don't have experience with that. There's been a motion to make it business of the day. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Well, I don't know where he is right now, and he'll. I texted him to come. But, what?
She was supposed to be here at 6:30. I want you to be
So, seeing no dissent, this is now business of the day. There's been a motion to vote. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to placard vote. All in favor of Resolution 30, please raise your placards. All against? Abstentions? By a vote of 20-0-3, Resolution 30 passes. And we're going to have, before the meeting's adjourned, just a couple-minute explanation by Rep. Pritchett and Rep. Muir about Resolution 31, clarifying Student Assembly Special Projects Funds.
Can I revise the created actually special projects from the guidelines? So previously there were no finite guidelines for special funding projects from the subject. So we created five goals to collapse the goal of the five goals to create a situation that organizations come before the appropriation committee with the intent of
I'd like we'll have a couple questions, one or two questions, and they'll come up tomorrow. But I'd really like to commend the Reps Mary and Pritchett, who really were instrumental in making this happen, and is really, whatever happens with it. It's a really, great change and new direction for the Student Assembly and specifically finance. So really good job, guys. Rep. Skelto.
So just reading this real quick. So any member of the Assembly can vote by the special project. but does that disqualify if that union member is a chair and is looking for money for their committee? Does that make sense? So any seated member of the assembly can apply for special purpose funding. So, and a chair is typically a seated member of the assembly. Are they not allowed to apply for funding for their committee?
Any student member representative is allowed to apply for special project funding.
I know, but you, it's been struck. There's a strike that there are many chairs and
because the office.
You could also defer to anything you should have to do.
I'm asking for clarification on that. It's you're not trying to remove many chairs from applying for special project funding for their committee.
I could also take that as a point of information if you want, also. As a point of information, which I'm actually going to refer to VP Luke Shevin.
So the committees have a completely different fund, so unless it was some huge project, which would be an initiative, which if it was a huge project, it would have evolved into an initiative already, and then probably been a resolution, and then could go to special projects. But if it's the committee trying to get funding for some type of outreach thing or something like that, then they would just, they would ask me and Romeo for funding from the pool of funding that we have for committees.
To tomorrow.
No, tomorrow.
Yeah. Great. So, seeing no dissent and because the meeting is about to end, thank you guys. This is going to come up tomorrow.
I'm going to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. The time is now 1 second after.
What's that order going to be tomorrow?
Melissa will send out information. I think it's Golden Smith.
Oh, yeah, it's Kaufman Auditorium.
What's
Kaufman,
yeah.
Kaufman over Auditorium at 4.
How do they keep their agenda?
Yeah, get an email with this Kaufman agenda. Kaufman Auditorium at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Keep your agendas 4 to 7 year Chelsea. We'll be sure to bring them tomorrow if you want to hold on to it. With that, it's 7 o'clock, and the meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.